All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Old Testament book of Hosea. Hosea. All right, that's the Spanish translation of his name. The Hebrew translation of his name is Hoshea. That's what they call. I remember the first time we were over in Israel, and the guide was talking about Hoshea. And we were all sitting there going, "What? Who's he talking about?" And so I asked him. I said, "Who in the world are you talking about?" He said, "Hoshea." I said, "We don't know a Hoshea." And he said, "It's not in your Bible." And I thought, "Well, now how do I answer that question?" But I said, "Spell it." And he said, H-O-S-E-A. I said, "Oh, okay, Hoshea, I got it, okay." Didn't I look like a fool? But anyway, are you there? I did all that to give you time to get there. All right, you're welcome. You're welcome. Now, if you haven't found it yet, just look intelligently at whatever page you happen to be on, all right? Chapter 1, please, and I want to read just 3 verses, and I want to preach from one verse. All right, look at verse 1, chapter 1. The Bible says, "The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah." Now, we all know Uzziah, right? All right, remember, he was the king during Isaiah's time. And it says in the year that King Uzziah died, all right, so there's one king, and then we have another, his name was Jotham, and then another whose name was Ahaz, and then another whose name was Hezekiah. And you'll note here that Hosea said that all of these were kings of Judah. And in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. So what that is doing is showing you that this man had a long tenure as a prophet. All right, so it's estimated about 70 years. He was a preacher, a prophet, to the people of Judah. All right, verse 2. Now here's my text verse. Look at this. It says, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea. Now, don't anybody panic here, okay, with what I'm about to read. I'm going to explain it to you. It's going to make sense in a minute. All right. But you'll notice verse 2, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, "Go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord." Now, this is spiritually, he's saying that the land has went away from God. The nation was committing spiritual adultery, if you will. All right, then in verse 3, so he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. Now, I'll stop right there for the sake of time, and let's pray. And then I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, Hosea's story. Hosea's story. Now, we can learn some things from Hosea. And so let's pray, and then we'll see what we can find out. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the day you blessed us with. Thank you for Skate Day and for the opportunity to reach a lot of children and teenagers with the gospel today. And I pray that we will indeed see many come to know Christ as their Savior, and parents as well. And so, Father, I ask you to bless each bus and each bus captain and those sharing the gospel. And, Father, just empower your word from on high. And now we ask your blessings to be upon the service here. I want to thank you for the opportunity to be able to tell Hosea's story this morning. And, Father, I pray it'll be a blessing and an encouragement to every heart. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Christ's name, amen. There are a lot of things about Hosea's life and story that has brought, I guess you would say, a little confusion. Some folks trying to figure out just exactly what happened here in the first few chapters of this book. It is a wonderful book of prophecy, and it contains a lot of principles that every believer could benefit from, but it also gives us great insight into the heart and holiness of God Almighty. Now, by way of introduction, in verse 1, we learn that Hosea was a prophet to the northern tribes. All right, he was a prophet to the northern tribes. Isaiah was a contemporary, and Isaiah was the prophet to Judah and Benjamin. All right, so the kingdom had divided by this time. By the time Hosea penned this book, the kingdom had divided. You remember there were 10 nations to the north, and they were called Israel. And then sometimes in Scripture, they're called Ephraim. And the reason they called them Ephraim over time was because the descendants of Ephraim became the largest of the tribes that, just like Judah, was a whole lot bigger than Benjamin, all right? And the end result was the southern two were called Judah, even though it was Judah and Benjamin. And the northern tribes were called Israel, but then after time, they simply became known as Ephraim. That was inside. That was among their own. They referred to them as Ephraim because Ephraim was the big dominant tribe. All right, does that make sense to everybody? I'm trying to lay a foundation here so you don't get mixed up when I start to try and explain all this. So, from the names of the kings under whom he served, it is estimated that Hosea prophesied around 70 years. Now, that's a long time to preach to a people. That's a long time, but nonetheless, Hosea was faithful, and his message resounded with the northern tribes. Now, in this book, we do not have a full account of Hosea's preaching ministry. Unquestionably, though, this book is quite peculiar. And I say that because there are 12 prophetic books in the Old Testament scriptures that we refer to as minor prophets, all right? And Hosea is in that group. There is only one thing minor about these 12 prophets that are in our Bible, beginning with Hosea and going to Malachi. There's only one thing that is minor about them, and that is the fact that they are not quite as wordy or as voluminous or as big as what we call the major prophets. All right, so the major prophets, that's Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel. All right, those are the major prophets. And then you have the 12 minor prophets. But don't let that word minor scare you, because there's really nothing minor about any of them. They all have a tremendous message. Now, There are three. Stay with me now. I'm laying a foundation first. Then I'm going to get to the preaching part. When we get to that, you're going to wish you weren't here. All right. But the three of these minor prophets are distinctly narrative prophets. Now, what do I mean by that? Two of the three are simply telling a story. All right? Two of them are simply telling a story. That's the book of Jonah. You with me? All right? Think about Jonah. Jonah's just telling us Jonah's story, isn't it? It's narrative. It's full of application and meaning, but it's a story. It's Jonah's life. It's his ministry. Then the second one is the book of Habakkuk. The book of Habakkuk. And although these two tell a story, nonetheless, they are stories that are ripe with prophetic value and instructional value. And Hosea is the third one, and Hosea is not in itself a story. It's not in itself a story. There's a little story contained in it, but it's not what the whole book is all about. And behind it, there is a story, and that story emerges incidentally, and we find that the story gives color and great insight into the ministry of this man of God. Now, when Hosea wrote this book, it was the darkest period in Israel's history. There's no doubt about that. Hosea spoke to a nation as that nation was quickly going downhill, spiritually speaking. All right, don't forget, that's what really ultimately this book is all about, the spiritual condition of Israel and how it was declining. And his message was, you better stop, you better put the brakes on, because the direction in which you are heading is not going to be a good spot. You do not want to find yourself at the bottom where you're headed very, very quickly. Okay? So that's his message. And Hosea continued his message and his preaching until the Assyrians came in 722 BC and took over, invaded the northern 10 tribes. And when they invaded those 10 tribes, it was a brutal show. It was awful. And a lot of people died. Now, the story of Hosea is one of tragedy, heartache, and despair. And I want to point that out to you this morning and then make some application. The tragedy is what happened in his own life, and it colored all of his messages. He never got out from under the story that we're going to look at in just a second. All right? Now, verse 2 introduced this tragedy to us that took place in Hosea's life. There are three things, if I have time, that I want to call to your attention this morning. First of all, let's just simply look at Hosea's story. Now, this is a shocking story. If you've read the book, you know that it's a shocking story. And I remember the first time I read the story, it was just a few months after I had gotten saved, when I was 16 years of age, And my pastor said, read the Bible. And I said, yes, sir. And I read the Bible. And when I got to Hosea, I scratched my head. And I thought, what in the world is going on here? I mean, it floored me. Because it's hard to understand. It's a difficult book. Now, here's the story. Here's the story. Hosea married a woman whose name was Gomer. Now, in our land, Gomer is not a woman's name. All right? The only Gomer we know is Gomer Pyle, USMC. Right? And so I remember when I first read this, I thought, what? He married a woman named Gomer? Well, that Gomer was indeed a woman's name back then. All right? It's not today, so don't let that part throw you. Now, he and his wife, Gomer, it's hard to say, but he and his wife, Gomer, had three children. Three children. Look at verse 3. It says, so he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. And the Lord said to Hosea, call your son's name Jezreel. Jezreel. All right? For yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu. Now, Jehu was a king. And I will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. All right, now read on. And so he named the boy what God said to name him. And then in verse 6, they had a girl, a daughter. And God said, call her name Lo-Ruhamah. All right, now she was in the fifth grade before she learned how to spell her name, okay? That's a tough one, isn't it? Said, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel. And then go down to verse 8. And when Lo-Ruhamah was weaned, she conceived and she had another son. And God said, name this son Lo-Ami. All right, so three children. And God told them what to name their children. Now, here's the thing, folks. Listen to the names of these children for just a moment, and you will see the message that God is giving to Hosea. He is telling Hosea a message, and he's going to do so through the names of these three children. God said, Hosea, your first one is Jezreel. What's that mean? It means God soweth. God soweth. All right? This Lo-Ruhamah means not having obtained mercy. Now, how many of you know the Lord? Don't raise your hand, just say amen. How many of you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? Amen. You have been given mercy. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing if your mom and your dad named you a name that meant you're not going to obtain mercy? Wow, that'd be scary, wouldn't it? All right. And so not having obtained mercy. Then the third child was born, and Lo-Ami means not my people. What's the message? Here's the message, Israel. Here's the message, Ephraim, the northern tribes. Here's the message. You have committed spiritual adultery against your God. You are out here following all the false gods of the Canaanites. You are living in rebellion against the God of heaven, and you are sacrificing to gods, and those gods are false gods, and you better stop it or you're not going to be able to find mercy. Judgment will be yours. And when that judgment comes and it's yours, I will declare from that point on that you are not my people. What a powerful message, huh? I'm telling you, folks, Israel's sin and wickedness was real to God. God sowed the seeds of judgment in Israel, first child's name. And then because they would not repent of their sin, there was no mercy to be found for them. And then finally, God simply said of Israel, of Ephraim, these are not my people. These are not my people. Folks, listen, we have got to come to God God's way. God's way. And that's the message here. That's what God is saying to Hosea through his family. Now, this is where it gets interesting, all right? Let me calm down here a minute. Hold on. All right, here's where it gets interesting. What happened then? All right, so here's Hosea. He's married. He's got three children. Children are growing up. One big happy family. But something happens. Something terrible happens. In wickedness and in infidelity, Gomer fled her home. She left Hosea. And she abandoned her three children and went running face first into sin, playing the harlot, and Hosea and the kids were all devastated, as any family would be. All right? How'd this go? Well, look for a moment at verse 2 again. And what's the second word in this verse? Beginning. Now, what does that mean? That means the beginning, right? All right. Let's say this is Hosea's ministry starts right here. God calls him. All right. In the beginning of his ministry. That's what that's saying. All right? You say, well, I thought he was to go out into the world and marry a prostitute. No. No, 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 no. That would be totally against God's word. God didn't tell him go marry a woman of the streets. No way. That would have been, God tempts no man with sin. So don't blame her adultery on God. It wasn't God's fault. It was a choice she made. But you got to realize God is omniscient. All right, now follow at the beginning. What Hosea is doing is somewhere after all that drama is over. And you know what happens in 2 and 3. They pray a hedge around her that everything she does will flop. They just pray, God, do something in her heart, do something major in her heart. And that's what God did. They prayed and God answered the prayer and put a hedge of thorns around her. No matter which way she went, she hurt herself. It just did not work. And finally, she was sold into slavery. Remember that? And here's where it gets good. Hosea, you know, till death do us part. And Hosea loved that woman, even though her name was Gomer. All right, you staying with me? All right, nobody go to sleep here. You might miss one. All right, go back. He says, well, you know, I remember those early days. Whew, that was rough. Those were tough, weren't they, kids? Oh, yeah, Daddy, that was a hard time. We thought we had lost Mom forever. Yep, we sure did. But here's what God did, kids. Let me show you what God did. God loves her just like we love her. She went off into wickedness and sin, just like Israel went off into wickedness and sin. All right? See the point? See the point? He's not standing down there at the beginning telling the story. He's at the end, and he's looking back to the beginning, and he's telling the story. Now it makes sense, doesn't it? And he says, boy, I wasn't expecting that. I didn't think it was going to go down like that. Did you, kids? Nope. You know, Dad, Mom just lost her mind, didn't she? Yeah, she sure did. But boy, we stayed after her, didn't we, kids? Yep, we sure did, Dad. We prayed a hedge of thorns around her. Didn't make any difference. Which way she went, she could not escape. She had us on our faces praying for her. And listen, folks, that's exactly the picture that happened with Israel, with Ephraim in the north. Now, I'm going to show you the next time something that happens over in chapter 4 that is about Judah. This is going to happen to Judah. But tonight, or this morning, we're looking at the fact that God said, don't do this. Don't do this. If you do this, you're going to have some issues. You're going to have some problems. And then at the end, Hosea looks back and he says, wow, I don't know how we made this. I guess God sure was good to us, wasn't he? You know, God remembered us in our folly. God remembered us in all our drama. You know, this world's full of drama. You know that, right? Oh, my goodness. I saw a T-shirt the other day, and it said, you look like drama, you smell like drama, you act like drama, now go away. Drama's everywhere, especially these days, isn't it? But folks, we got a God that loves us. Just like Hosea loved Gomer, and the amazing picture that we have here is that with her is the fact that right in the midst of her sin, she was rescued. Man, how do you think she felt when the slave master said, how much am I bid for this one? And she heard a familiar voice that said, 30 pieces of silver. Does that ring a bell with anybody? 30 pieces of silver? Yeah, Judas. That's what he paid to hand over the Lord Jesus. You say, well, what's that 30 pieces of silver mean? Here's what it means. It's the price of a slave. That's what a slave cost. Isn't it something that the Sanhedrin didn't think that the Lord Jesus was anything other than a slave, a servant that you could purchase for 30 pieces of silver? That's sad, isn't it? That's how the world sees our Savior. That's how the Lord sees our Savior. And folks, that's the story bluntly told. And what a tragic tale it is. But certainly is not an uncommon tale, is it? You see, this is how the Lord Jesus found all of us. When we were lost, praise God, Jesus paid the price for you and for me to be rescued from sin and despair. Second thing I want you to consider, let's think about the story in the light of the tragedy of Gomer. Let's think about that aspect of it. My second thought is by no means common, but it is certainly amazing. Absolutely amazing. Look, please, if you will, at verse 2. Who has ever thought of such a thing happening as this? Do you think that you would want to go out and find a woman of the streets and marry her? Of course not. Oh, you would never want that. And that's not what Hosea did. Although a lot of people read it and they think that that's what happened. They think that God told him, you go down to the red light district and find a wife. No. No. No, Hosea, came time to get married, and what they normally would do was the fathers would get together and they would decide, I think my son ought to marry your daughter. Well, how much dowry you got? Let's talk camels first. How many camels you got? Every time we went to Israel, some Arab over there offered me 10 camels for Karen. I told him, make it 12 and I'm good. Yeah, she's going to whoop me now. So the fathers would get together and discuss dowry. And when they came up with the dowry, then the marriage took place. Now, if you stop and think about it, folks, this is not Hosea saying, this is not God telling Hosea. Remember, he's at the end and he's looking back. He's not at the beginning looking forward. He's looking back and he's telling us his story. And now that he's on this end of it, he can see what God was doing. Okay? He can now see. This is an illustration. This is an example. Yes, it is, Hosea. Put it in a book. And so he pens the book. Now, folks, listen. Look at verse 2. Look at verse 2 again. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. Now, a preacher of the past said, and this guy is one that I read from often, and he's generally right on, but he said that if we would understand the word by as with. Okay, look at verse 2. The beginning of the word of the Lord with Hosea. So what's that saying? That's saying that this is how it started. Back here. He's not at the beginning telling the story. He's at the end looking back and telling us how it all happened. All right, so this is the word of the Lord with Hosea. And it helps us and giving us just that little slight adjustment, and it makes it a little easier to comprehend. So in verse 2, look at it this way. At the first, in the beginning of my ministry, when Jehovah God spoke with me. You see, I think Hosea is at the end looking back to the beginning of his ministry, to the start of his ministry. In other words, he is standing over here, looking back here and saying, way back there in the early days of my ministry, before all of the tragedy came upon my life and my family, Jehovah God spoke with me, and it was he who commanded me to marry. So I went out and I found a woman to marry, and her name was Gomer. And after they married, they had children. I can hear him now. Yep, I remember when our first was born, and then our second was born, and then our third child was born. And God told us what to name those children. Now, did he think about all that at the time? I doubt it. It was not unusual for God to speak to a man of God and tell him what to name his family. Not uncommon at all. But notice, please, it seems that their lives were all just fine and dandy for several years. And now the kids are growing up. And life is just fine and dandy, but she is definitely described in verse 2 as a wife of whoredoms, having departed from the Lord. But it does not specifically tell us that she was a harlot when Hosea first saw her and married her. All right, you with me on that? I told you this was the hairy part. You got to think. All right, but the little phrase, departing from the Lord. Do you see that? It says, and the Lord said to Gomer, go, or to Hosea, go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land that hath committed great whoredoms, departing from the Lord. Now you'll see the word departing is in italics. And that means that there was just not a word to go in there that made sense. So what the King James translators put in was the word departing. And that little word, departing from the Lord, is important. Now, folks, think about it, all right? Do you think Hosea would have married this woman who was an in-your-face, blatant, openly wicked, sinning woman who has no shame? No. No. I mean, can you imagine? He brings her home to his mom and dad. Mom and dad, here's my new girlfriend. Mm-mm. Son, we need to have a talk. You know, it would be to the woodshed where the talk would take place. You are not marrying that woman. No. It was, no doubt, an arranged marriage. She was normal. She was normal. But in the process of life, she lost her mind and she left them all. And God is saying, that is exactly what Israel did to me. They walked away from me. They had no reason to walk away from me. I'm God. I was good to them. But they walked away from me. And the end result of walking away from God is judgment. And that's exactly what happened. Now, departing from the Lord. You know, folks, if he had been... I think Hosea looked back over his life to the tragedy that he had to face, and now he's figuring it all out. God is revealing it to him. I think that he might have said over here, looking back, man, that marriage to this woman was the biggest mistake of my life. I mean, look at the tragedy. Look at all that happened here. Just look at all the misery she has caused me and our children and our family embarrassment from everyone who loves us. And you know, folks, if he had been looking at this through natural eyes, that is probably what he would have seen. But he's over here now, and he's looking at it through spiritual eyes. And what comes to mind? Well, what comes to mind is he went over here and bought her out of slavery. He loved her. And folks, the point is, God would have done anything, anything to get Israel back to him. But you see, some folks, they're just bent on their own destruction. Here's the law of God, and they'll look the law of God right square in the face and laugh at it. Here's the Lord Jesus and the truth of the gospel. They'll look the Lord right in the face and turn away from it. Laugh at him. Well, folks, that never ends well. That never ends well. I think I told you this story. But if I did, it's a long time ago. So I'm going to tell it again. I was preaching down in Atlanta. And the guy I was preaching for has been there forever. And he knows everybody, all the preachers and all everybody around. And we were talking about things, about, I don't even remember what we were talking about now. And it came up that in 1990, I was privileged to go to Russia just 3 months after the curtain fell and preach all over Russia and Ukraine. And he said, oh, I know a preacher. I know a guy that went. And I said, yeah. He told me who it was. And I said, yeah, he was on my trip. He was with us. And he said, oh, really? I said, yeah. He said, well, how'd he do? And I said, well, if he stayed sober long enough, he did pretty good. He looked at me and started grinning, and he said, I know. I said, yeah. Yeah, I said, he couldn't stay sober long enough to do anything for the Lord. And he couldn't. All right? You know, in America, you go into a restaurant, and there's a bottle of water sitting on in the center of the table. Well, in Russia, there's 4 bottles of vodka. I mean, they drink it like water. And everybody looks pickled half the time. Seriously. And so some of these preachers, they just sit down, they just grab a bottle and start pouring. And I'm sitting there going, man, we're here to serve the Lord and you guys are getting drunk. What is wrong with you? They asked everybody on the bus to pray except for me. They wouldn't ask me to pray. And the last day, the guy stands up and he goes, well, I think everybody has prayed. And one of my friends said, Dr. Belcher hadn't prayed. And he goes, oh, okay. Well, Doc, would you lead us in prayer? I said, glad to. And I prayed that God would not kill him before we got home. Over here representing the Lord and living like the devil. Oh, I let them have it. I let them have it. They don't like me very well to this day, but I let them have it. It was ridiculous. Well, this fellow that I was telling you about got cancer and suffered terribly. And my preacher friend, the guy that I was preaching for, said he was going to go over and visit, so he did. And when he opened, when his wife opened the door to let him in, he walked down that hallway, and that man was laying in his bed. He was just skin and bones. And he was screaming to the top of his lungs, "Get him out of here! Get him away!" And he's flailing his arms like he's trying to shove somebody out of the way. "Don't come near me! Get away from me! Don't you dare touch me!" And he's screaming at him. And my friend looked around and he said, "I didn't see anybody in that room." I said, "No, but they were there." He said, "Oh yeah, they were there. I felt that. But I didn't physically see anybody. But they were there." You say, "What do you think that was?" I think that was demons coming to get him. Because he died before my friend could get out of that room. And said he died screaming, "No, no, no." This little skin and bones man screaming to the top of his lungs. Don't reject God, folks. That's the point. And Hosea is saying, "Hey, Israel, you better stop in your tracks or judgment's coming." And here's the thing. They didn't stop and judgment came. Judgment came. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you now for your wonderful word, and I pray you'll bless this to our hearts today. I pray you'll give us understanding of what we've heard. Hosea is a wonderful book, but it's complicated. And I pray that you will bless your word, touch our hearts with its truth. And Father, if there is someone in this room today who is not 100% sure that they're saved and on their way to heaven, I pray that today they'll make that decision. They'll call upon your name and receive Christ before it's too late. And Father, we live in a world that has rejected the grace and the mercy of the Lord. So Father, help us to see the importance of not rejecting, but accepting. May your word make a difference in our hearts today.